Hare Krishna. So, I asked you all and you said that you all are doing wonderfully. Obviously, materially or spiritually. Obviously, both materially and spiritually. Is it? When you do spiritually well, obviously you're doing materially also well. What's the logic behind that? Just like if you have $100 in your pocket, that means it covers all the $10 problems also. So spiritual situation being above material, it automatically includes all material aspects, right? When the soul is content, the mind or subtle body is content, and the body, the gross body is content. Everybody is content. So today I'm supposed to give a class on Vaishnava etiquette. And I will cover that with some discussion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had with Srila Sanatan Goswami. And so I'll read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 24, text 324 onwards. I'll just read the English translation by Srila Prabhupada. Folding his hand, Sanatan Goswami said, "My Lord, you ordered me to write a directory about the activities of a Vaishnava. I am a most low-born person. I have no knowledge of a good behavior. How is it possible for me to write authorized directions about Vaishnava activities?" So here we can see the natural mentality or attitude of a Vaishnava. No matter how exalted he may be, he considers to be so low, even lower than the lowest. How many of you know about Srila Sanatan Goswami? How many of you want to know about Srila Sanatan Goswami? Sanatan Goswami was the minister of the King of Bengal. He was the minister of the King of Bengal. And those days, Bengal was the most opulent region of India. And those days, India was the most opulent country. Probably people don't realize that. One simple consideration about that is, when Copernicus established that Earth is round, Columbus considered that if the earth is round, then if he went westbound through the sea, then he will land in India. Why does one venture to go to India? Why Columbus was so eager to find the waterway to India? Because it was the most opulent place. They used to have trading with India from Europe, mainly from the civilized part of Europe those days, which was the northern part like Greece, Rome, Italy, part of Italy and so forth. And who sponsored him? Queen Isabella, the Queen of Portugal. And then what happened? Columbus didn't land in India. He went to the West Indies. He went to part of America. And he thought that was India. Therefore, the Americans, that still today, original aborigines or original residents of America, known as the Indians. To make the discrimination, they say red Indians. They thought that, Columbus thought that he landed in India. Then how did it get the name America? How many of you know? A sailor named Amerigo Vespucci I thought we don't need any background music. Please switch off or put your phones in aeroplane mode or silent mode. So it was Amerigo Vespucci, an Italian, who actually recognized that this is not India. Therefore, the continent got the name after him as America. Anyway, the point is, those days India was the most opulent country and Bengal was the most opulent region of India. And Sanatan Goswami was the chief minister of the king of Bengal. So you can well imagine how exalted was his position. But after Sanatan Goswami came in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave up his exalted position and he left. Well, he wanted to leave, but the Nawab, the king, won't let him go because he was so valuable to him. And when Sanatan Goswami didn't want to listen to him, he was adamant that he is going to resign from his ministership. The king arrested him, put him in prison. And Sanatan Goswami escaped by bribing the prison keeper. And he, from such an exalted position, he took up the life of a mendicant. When he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Benares, he was traveling incognito, because if anybody could recognize him, he was an important person, so it was very easy for him to be recognized, and he could have been reported, it could have been reported to the king. So Sanatan Goswami was traveling through the forest path. He didn't take the normal path. He was traveling through the forest path. And obviously his appearance was quite unkempt. So when he got to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Benares, he was from Vrindavan, he was returning to Jagannath Puri. So Sanatan Goswami got to know. He was staying in the house of Tapan Mishra. And so he went, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Tapan Mishra, "See, somebody is outside the door. Bring him in." Oh, he said that a Vaishnav is there, so bring him in. So Tapan Mishra went and looked her out and then came back, and he reported, though, "No, there was no Vaishnav there. I couldn't find any Vaishnav." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "Was there anybody there?" He said, "Yes, there was one Muslim fakir, that is a Muslim mendicant." His appearance became like that of a Muslim by that time. And so he said, "Call him in." So you can well imagine, Sanatan Goswami was traveling for so long. His appearance was unkempt. His clothes were unclean. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. So Sanatan Goswami felt extremely embarrassed. "Please don't touch me. Please don't touch me. I'm so dirty." But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded, "With your spiritual potency, you can deliver the entire universe. I am touching you simply to purify myself." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "Go and get civilized. So here again is the standard of Vaishnav civilization. Meaning, shave up your head, take a bath in the Ganga. So Sanatana Goswami did that. And at that time, Tapan Mishra gave him some new clothes, new dhoti. But Sanatana Goswami said, no, get me an old cloth, old dhoti. So he brought an old dhoti. Sanatana Goswami tore it into two halves, and with one half he wrapped it around his groin, and the other half he wrapped it around his torso. So that became the standard dress of the Vaishnavas at that time. So you can see what an amazing sacrifice. What an amazing sacrifice. Why? It was because when one takes to spiritual life, materialistic achievements and materialistic prosperity become totally insignificant. In a way, you can say that when you get the taste of some very delicious food, do you want to indulge in something that is rotten and putrid? That's the thing. Like when one gets the taste of spiritual life, one becomes naturally averse to materialistic prosperity. Anyway, that's Sanatan Goswami's life. I mean, it's an amazing, all these Vaishnava Acharyas who were associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all were such brilliant personalities. Another person is Raghunath Das Goswami. He was the son of a king. Gave up everything. Anyway, so here, see, such a personality like Sanatan Goswami. And not only that, he was an extremely brilliant scholar. He was a scholar in Sanskrit. He was also a scholar in the local ministry, the royal language, which is called Farsi, meaning the language of the Iranians, because it was a Muslim domination. So they were using that language. So he was an expert in that language, in Sanskrit, in Farsi, and who knows, maybe in English also. And so Sanatana Goswami said, I am a most low-born person. I have no knowledge of good behavior. How is it possible for me to write authorized directions about Vaishnava etiquette? Sanatana Goswami then requested the Lord, please personally tell me how I can write this difficult book about Vaishnava behavior. Please manifest yourself in my heart. If you would please manifest yourself within my heart and personally direct me in writing this book, then although I am a lowborn, I may hope to be able to write it. You can do this because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yourself, and whatever you direct is perfect. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whatever you want to do, you will be able to do correctly by Lord Krishna's favor. He will manifest the real purport. Because you asked me for a synopsis, please hear these few indications. In the beginning, describe how one must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. That, based on that instruction, Sanatana Goswami wrote a book called Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is actually the standard book for Vaishnava behavior, Vaishnava etiquette. Your book should describe the characteristics of a bona fide guru and the bona fide disciple. Then, before accepting a spiritual master, one can be assured of a spiritual master's position. Similarly, the spiritual master can also be assured of the disciple's position. So here's a consideration of spiritual master and disciple, because this whole culture is based on spiritual master and disciple relationship. It's a process of learning, process of getting informations, process of understanding the spiritual reality. So in order to understand something, we need a teacher. Without a teacher, we cannot possibly understand anything. Take any subject. Is there anyone who even learned the alphabets by himself? So even to learn an alphabet, you need a teacher. What to speak of other subjects? If you want to understand some subject properly, you need a qualified teacher. So this process of learning the spiritual science, the spiritual, the understanding or getting proper informations about the spiritual reality, you need a teacher, qualified teacher. So there's a consideration of the qualification of a teacher, but at the same time, the qualification of a student. Can anybody walk into any university and say, I want to enroll here as a student? No. They check what's your credibility, what's your qualification. And then only he's admitted in that university. So there is not only the consideration of the qualification of a teacher, there's also the consideration of qualification of a student. So both. This disciple should naturally consider the qualification of the teacher or guru, and the guru should also consider the qualification of a teacher. Guru also should consider the qualification of a student. Your book should describe the characteristics of the bona fide guru and the bona fide disciple. Then, before accepting a spiritual master, one can be assured of the spiritual master's position. Similarly, the spiritual master can also be assured of the disciple's position. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, should be described as the worshipable object, and you should describe the Vija Mantra for the worship of Krishna, as well as that for Rama and any other expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should discuss the qualifications necessary for receiving a mantra, the perfection of the mantra, the purification of the mantra, initiation, morning duties, remembrance of the Supreme Lord, cleanliness and washing the mouth and other parts of the body. So, the next consideration is the cleanliness. And you should describe, I've got so many garlands. Give it to him. Either. Yeah. Hare Krishna. This is Govinda. He's from Switzerland. He used to be my secretary before. Now he has a big PhD and so forth. You should describe how in the morning one should regularly brush his teeth, take his bath, offer prayers to the Lord, and offer obeisances to the spiritual master. You should also describe how one should render service to the spiritual master and paint one's body in 12 places with Urdha Punra Tilak, as well as how one should stamp one's body with the holy names of the Lord or the symbols of the Lord, such as the disc and club. Also describe deity worship, wherein one should offer food to Krishna at least 5 times daily. Okay, when you have deities at home, make it a point to offer 5 times. Deity worship should be taken very seriously. Keeping deities at home. It's not that we just go to Vrindavan and buy the deities and, you know, they're available dime a dozen. No, it shouldn't be like that. One should be very, very careful about that. Prabhupada said that when you have Radha Krishna deities, you have to be very, very serious. But Gornithai deity is not that difficult, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be happy if you just chant 16 rounds. Also describe deity worship wherein one should offer food to Krishna at least 5 times daily and in due time place him on a bed. You should also describe the process of offering arati and the worship of the Lord according to the list of 5, 16 or 50 ingredients. The characteristics of the deities should be discussed, as well as the characteristics of Shalagram Shila. You should also discuss visiting the deities in the temple and touring holy places like Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka. You should glorify the holy name and explain that one must carefully give up offenses when chanting the holy name. You should also describe the symptoms of a Vaishnava and explain that one must give up or nullify all kinds of seva aparadh, offenses in deity worship. The items of worship, such as water, conch shell, flowers, incense and lamp, should be described. You should also mention chanting softly, offering prayers, circumambulating and offering obeisances. All these should be carefully described. Other items you should describe are the method of performing purascharan, taking Krishna prasadam, giving up unoffered food, and not blaspheming the Lord's devotees. You should describe the symptoms of a devotee, how to associate with devotees, how to satisfy a devotee by rendering service, and how to give up the association of non-devotees. You should also explain the value of regularly hearing and recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. You should describe the ritualistic duties to be performed every day. And you should also describe the fortnight duties, especially how to observe the fortnightly Ekadasi fast. You should also describe the duties to be observed every month. And you should specially describe the observance of ceremonies like Janmashtami, Ram Navami, and Nrisingha Chaturdashi. Ekadasi, Janmashtami, Baman Dwadasi, Ram Navami, and Nrisingha Chaturdashi, all these should be described. You should recommend the avoidance of mixed Ekadasi and the performance of pure Ekadasi. You should also describe the fault in not observing Ekadasi. One should be very careful as far as these items are concerned. If one is not careful, one will be negligent in executing devotional service. So, here's a mention of mixed Ekadasi and pure Ekadasi. How many of you know the difference? Okay, generally the Ekadasis are pure when they're observed. But some Ekadasis become the Dwadasi. Ekadasi interlaps with Dwadasi, meaning the time according to the Vedic calculation begins from Brahma Muhurta. That means 48 minutes before sunrise. That is called, no, I'm sorry, not 48. 2.5 hours before sunrise. So, now, if Ekadasi doesn't end by that time, but enters into the next day. Like Ekadasi enters within that time frame of 2.5 hours before sunrise, then it is called Biddha Ekadasi or penetrated Ekadasi. So on those days, one doesn't observe Ekadasi or fasting on the Ekadasi day, but on the Dwadasi day. How many of you remember Mahadwadasis? So these are the Mahadwadasis. Biddha Ekadasi or penetrated Ekadasi is observed on Dwadasi. And the benefit of observing Mahadwadasi is many times more beneficial than observing Ekadasi. Okay. Whatever you say about Vaishnav behavior, the establishment of Vaishnav temple and deities and everything else should be supported by evidence from the Puranas. So in the Vedic culture, there is no room for speculation. Everything that we do, everything that we say, should be substantiated with scriptural evidence. So that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami. That whatever you say about Vaishnava behavior, establishment of Vaishnava temples and deities and everything else should be supported by evidence from the Puranas. You should give general and specific descriptions of the behavior and activities of a Vaishnava. You should outline things that are to be done and things that are not to be done. All these should be described as regulations and etiquette. I have thus given a synopsis of the Vaishnava regulative principles. I have given this in brief just to give you a little direction. When you write on this subject, Krishna will help you by spiritually awakening you. So this is the very basis of the scripture called Hari Bhakti Vilas, which Sanatana Goswami wrote describing the Vaishnava etiquettes. And I had the good fortune of giving a Vaishnava etiquette seminar in Vrindavan when we started the VIHE, Vaishnava Institute of Higher Education. That was in 1987. And I gave a month-long seminar on Vaishnava etiquette. And it was very nice, actually. We very elaborately discussed, and there were many questions. And so, now basically what we need to understand, like here we can see that, you know, the first consideration is the qualification of a guru, the qualification of a disciple. Like our spiritual life begins with that. Our spiritual life begins with accepting a bona fide spiritual master. So accepting a bona fide spiritual master is very, very important. And here, the emphasis is on bona fide, not just any body as guru. Spiritual life is a serious business. Like when you take something seriously, then how do you approach that process? Don't you approach it with very carefully? Like when you want to become a doctor or engineer or whatever, what do? You select the best possible university that you can get in. So similarly, it is very important that one takes initiation with due consideration. If the education is not there, then what will happen? I'll be very honest. Like in India, in the early days, In many cases, the consideration of getting initiation was to get an opportunity to go to America. Like many individuals took initiation with that objective. They were not really trained properly. They were not coming from proper, you know, like cultural background, you know, to understand the culture. And ISKCON was also quite young those days. And anyway, so I'm just giving. And, you know, these things actually happen. We select a spiritual master, often by his appearance, oh, he looks so handsome. Or he is so charismatic, he is so and so forth. No, the basic consideration is how much of Krishna he is going to give to me. That is the only qualification of a spiritual master. He is meant to give me Krishna. And in ISKCON, I will say he is meant to give Srila Prabhupada. Okay, let me also make this point. You know, this also can be considered as part of Vaishnava etiquette in ISKCON. Generally, the guru's business is actually to give Krishna to disciple. That means connect the disciple to Krishna. But in ISKCON, we are actually facing one unique situation. Unique situation in the sense, generally guru has his own ashram. In India, that used to be the standard. Guru used to have his ashram and he used to train his disciples in his ashram, or which can be considered to be a school, in his school. Now, when you look at it, ISKCON is actually Srila Prabhupada's ashram. Bhagavata Shri Prabhu, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you know, like. No, let me finish. Then you can give me your ultimate. So, ISKCON is Prabhupada's ashram. And Prabhupada did not appoint any successor. Generally, in the ashram, the guru, when he would retire, he would appoint a successor. But Prabhupada didn't do that. Prabhupada didn't appoint any successor. Actually, Prabhupada emphatically pointed out that the institution should be managed collectively through the governing body. Collective concept of management through a governing body commission. And Prabhupada made his position quite clear. He is the founder acharya, which actually means Prabhupada maintained that he is going to be the acharya of the institution for all time. As a matter of fact, you see, a few days before Srila Prabhupada left the planet, two very important persons who are very close to Srila Prabhupada came to see Srila Prabhupada. One was the ex-governor of Madras, Sriman Narayan, and the other one was the chairman of the Bajaj Industries. Both of them are very well-known personalities, Ramkrishna Bajaj and Sriman Narayan. They came to see Srila Prabhupada, and then at one point they said that they wanted to speak to Srila Prabhupada privately. So Prabhupada asked us to leave the room. So while leaving the room, I pressed the recording button of the tape recorder. And that's how we actually got to know what discussion went in there. And they asked Srila Prabhupada who would be his successor when he left. And Prabhupada's response was, I'm not going to appoint any successor. I give the legacy to all my followers. Whoever follows will have the legacy. So this is how we can see, you know, like Prabhupada so perfectly arranged ISKCON. And now those who are functioning as gurus in ISKCON, we are not functioning on our own right as gurus. We are functioning as representatives of ISKCON. For example, when ISKCON recognizes someone as guru, then he can function as a guru. And if ISKCON tells somebody that you have to stop giving initiation, they have to stop. So that shows that we are not functioning with our own authority, own right. Had I have my own ashram, then yes, I could have been that absolute authority there. But in ISKCON, I cannot function as an absolute authority. I am relative to, because I am representative, the institution I am representing, Srila Prabhupada. So then what becomes my role as a guru in ISKCON? I am saying all this because tomorrow I am supposed to give initiation. What is my role as a guru? To act as a via medium? Guru's role is a via medium. Via medium between the candidate or the disciple and the institution, which actually means Srila Prabhupada. So as a guru, our role is actually to act as the via medium between the disciple and Srila Prabhupada. Our business is to take our disciples to Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada is delivering them. And we play our role very safely this way. That I don't have the responsibility to take my disciples to Krishna. Who knows whether I'll make it there. But at least I can take them to Srila Prabhupada. And then, they're safe, I am safe. So, and that's why it's very important to recognize the fact that our main spiritual responsibility is to become connected to Srila Prabhupada. And how do we become connected to Srila Prabhupada? Through his teachings. Through his teachings. It's not a sentimental thing. It's a science. The more we absorb the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, the more we'll make spiritual advancement. So that's why this role is actually very, very important. How we are functioning both as guru and disciple. And then what happens? Then the disciples become gurus in course of time. They play the same role. And their disciples come to get trained by them. And in this way it continues generation after generation. That is the meaning of disciplic succession. The Sanskrit expression is parampara. Parampara means the succession. Today who is a disciple, tomorrow he'll become a guru. Then their disciples will become gurus in due course of time. And this is how the legacy continues, the process continues. So that is one of the most important things that we have to consider. And we can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami that's the first thing that he actually instructed him. Like to become the guru's qualification and disciple's qualification. And then the next consideration is how do we deal with each other? That's the most important consideration actually. There are other considerations that comes in between in deity worship and so forth. But one of the most important considerations is how do we deal with each other? If it's a family, then the relationship between the family members is the most important consideration. And what is the basis? There are three considerations in relationship. Senior to junior, junior to senior, and among equals. From senior to junior, affection flows. The seniors must offer their affection, guidance, and so that the juniors can grow up. And from junior to senior, there should be respect. That is what makes the relationship. Affection from senior to junior and junior to senior, respect. And among equals, friendship. So that is what makes the relationship. It is not that only the juniors juniors should offer respect and the seniors don't have any responsibility but to accept their worship. No. There has to be reciprocation, and the reciprocation comes in the form of affection, care, concern. And then among equals, friendship. So that is what makes Vaishnava society such a wonderful spiritual society. Then the consideration of cleanliness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out the important thing, brush your teeth every morning. I noticed in the West I found it out actually when I went to a dentist. He insisted that I have to brush my teeth at night. Whereas in India, we always brush our teeth in the morning. Better to do it in the morning, actually. And so, brush your teeth. Bathe yourself. The cleanliness is very, very important. Like even when you drink a glass of water, wash your hands and mouth. What to speak of when you eat using your hands. This is another thing today's world is actually forgetting, washing hands before eating and after eating. Because in India, generally, one uses hands, not so much forks and spoons or chopsticks. They use hands. And it's very important that you have to wash your hands before you indulge in eating and after you indulge in eating. Wash your mouth, rinse your mouth properly. And then how does one dress? One should always wear clean clothes. That's another thing about modern dress and traditional Indian dress. That Indian dresses are washed every day. Sari, dhoti, kurta, every day they're washed. But when you wear Western dresses, it's not so practical. The Western culture was very different. It was very cold. People used to wear leather jackets and things, like early days. So it's not possible to clean them every day. And then came, trousers and things, it's not possible to clean them every day. Another advantage with dhoti and sari, it's all free size. Anybody can wear it. It fits into everybody. So these are the basic considerations of Vaishnava etiquette, another very important thing is to offer everything to Krishna, foodstuff. And we should also be concerned, what Krishna wants. We can't just cook anything and offer to Krishna. No, we have to see what Krishna wants. And what does Krishna want? Patram pushpang phalam toyam. Patram, in one hand actually, patram means tulasi leaves. Pushpam, phalam, and toyam. But it can also be translated as vegetables, grains, fruits, milk and milk products. So these are very, very simple yet very important consideration for our spiritual advancement. And not only is it's pertaining to a spiritual advancement, it also is beneficial for our material well-being. The body, now the Western world is recognizing that fact, that non-vegetarian food is harmful, whereas vegetarian food is so health-giving. And on top of everything, the human digestive system is actually designed for vegetarian food. Are you all aware of that, how human digestive system is conducive to vegetarian food? Like carnivorous animals and herbivorous animals. The carnivorous animals have very short intestine. Why? Because meat becomes putrid. Meat rots very quickly. And when it rots, it becomes toxic. Therefore, the system is that absorb whatever you have to absorb and then excrete it quickly. Whereas herbivorous animals, they have to transform the herbs, the leaves and grass and so forth. And it takes longer time to transform into that cell into body cell. So that's why they have long intestine. And also the vegetables and fruits don't become putrid or toxic so quickly. Like you let an apple rot or a cabbage rot in your room, you won't even notice it. Whereas if you have a lump of meat rotting, you won't be able to live in that room. So now the process of digestion is actually sort of rotting. So just consider, you know, meat rotting in your stomach and an apple rotting in your stomach. You can well consider the difference. So human beings, now the animals have, the herbivorous animals have long intestine. Now proportionately, human beings have the longest intestine proportion to the body. 6 times the length of the body. Carnivorous animal's teeth structure is very different than herbivorous animal. And human teeth structure is akin to the herbivorous animals, excepting Dracula. These are the things, like, I mean, it can go, you can go on and on actually, you know, scientifically observing. Like, have you seen how a carnivorous animal drink water? At least have you seen a dog drinking water? Yeah, with the tongue it splashes the water into the mouth. Have you seen how a cow drinks water? It sucks the water, right? Siphons the water. And consider how you drink water. So after taking all this into consideration, you know, the simple consideration is, are human beings meant to be herbivorous or carnivorous? By nature's arrangement. But the thing is, another thing is that by nature's arrangement, human beings are omnivorous. They can eat anything. It's up to their choice, left up to their choice. They can be a vegetarian, they can be a non-vegetarian, they can, you know, like, so that really, human beings are actually omnivorous. So because the choice has been left to them, it's up to you. You decide whether you want to benefit or whether you want to lose. Okay, so these are the next consideration, you know, what we eat. But the main thing is that whatever we eat must be offered to Krishna. And Krishna has given a very simple principle in Bhagavad Gita. Jat karosi, jat asnasi, jat juhosi, dadasi jat, jat tapushoshi konteya, tat kurusha madarpanam. Meaning, jat karosi, whatever you do, jadasnasi, whatever you eat, jadjuhasi, whatever you offer in sacrifice, dadasijat, whatever you give in charity, jat tapushoshi, whatever austerities you perform, do all that for my sake. That is the meaning of devotional service. Everything is done for Krishna's pleasure. And that is the final consideration of Vaishnava etiquette. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Long first after the question and answer. Okay, so if there is no question answer, if there is no question, then I selected a new song to sing today. Actually, to us, it's not a new song. In 1976, as Bhagavata Sri Prabhu mentioned, I was a new bhakta. I compiled a song book in Bengali, collecting from different Gauriyamat song books. And there I selected a few songs in Hindi. And few of them I used to sing, like Krishna Jinka Naam Hai, and Sundar Lala, Sachi Dulala, etc. But this one I never thought of singing. But this one I sang the other day and it seemed that everyone loved it. So I thought I'll sing this one. And this lyric is very beautiful. The lyrics are, it goes like, Maili Chadar Od Ke Kaise Dwar Tumhare Aao. Maili means dirty. Chadar is shawl. Now, what is the dirty shawl? This body is a dress for the soul. So, he's saying that I have come wearing a dirty... Now, I'll take the harmonium. I came wearing a... How can I come to you wearing a dirty chadar? I'm feeling, in the heart of my heart, I'm feeling very, very embarrassed. Dwar tumhare aao. He pavan parameshwar mere man hi man sharmao. O Supreme Lord, who is the deliverer of everyone, I feel extremely embarrassed. Tumne mujhko jag mein bheja, nirmal dekar kaya. You sent me to this world giving a very clean and pure body. But aakar ke is sansar mein maine isko daag lagaya. But coming to this world, I made it dirty. Janam janam ki maili chadar kaise daag chhudao. Birth after birth, I have been collecting dirt. How can I get rid of that dirt? He pavan parmeshwar mere man hi man sharmao. O Lord, the deliverer of everyone, at the heart of my heart, I am feeling very, very embarrassed. Nirmal vani pakar tujhse naam na tera gaya. Although I got your very pure and profound teachings, I didn't chant your holy name. Nayan mood kar he Parmeshwar, kabhi na tujhko dhaya. And I never meditated upon you, closing my eyes. Man bina ki tar tuti, ab kaise geet ga sunao. The strings of the veena of my mind has broken. How can I sing for you? He Pavan Parmeshwar Mere Man Hi Man Sharmaun. O my Lord, the deliverer of everyone, in my heart of my heart I am feeling extremely embarrassed. In Pairo Se Chalkar Tere Mandir Kabhi Na Aaya. Walking with my legs, I never went to your temple. Jahan Jahan Ho Puja Teri Kabhi Na Shish Jhukaya. And wherever there was your worship, I never bowed my head down. Hey Girdhar, main haar ke aaya, aap kya haar charaun. This I made a little change. The original song actually was Hey Harihar, but Harihar does not fit in our understanding. Hari and Har is combined as Harihar. So I made it to make it clear. I said, Hey Girdhar. Hey Girdhar, main haar ke aaya. O Girdhari, Krishna, being defeated, I have come to you. How can I offer you a garland? So Har ke aaya means being defeated, and Har means garland. So how can I offer a garland to you now that I have come, becoming totally defeated? He Pavan Parmeshwar Mere Man Hi Man Sharmao. Therefore, I am feeling extremely embarrassed at the heart of my heart. Tu hai aparam par dayalu, sara jagat samhale. Jaisa bhi hu, main hu tera, apne sharal lagale. You are the extremely munificent, extremely merciful, and you are maintaining the whole creation. In whichever I am, please accept me the way I am. Please accept me the way I am. Chhod ke tera dwar data aur kahin na jaun. Living your door, I'll never go anywhere from now on. And I'm feeling extremely embarrassed in the heart of my heart. So I can take the harmonium. Let me see. Could have been better in one page, actually. Okay. Yeah, maybe you can handle it like that, yeah. So, okay, let me see this one.
harbor, tal. Yep.
Very good. मैली चादर ओढ़ के कैसे द्वार तुम्हारे आऊं, हे पावन परमेश्वर मेरे मन ही मन शर्माऊं। चादर ओढ़ के कैसे द्वार तुम्हारे आऊं, हे पावन परमेश्वर मेरे मन ही मन शर्माऊं। मैली चादर ओढ़ के कैसे द्वार तुम्हारे आऊं, हे पावन परमेश्वर मेरे मन ही मन शर्माऊं। मुझको जग में भेजा निर्मल देकर काया, आकर के संसार में मैंने इसको दाग लगाया। संसार में मैंने इसको दाग लगाया, तुमने मुझको जग में भेजा निर्मल देकर काया, आकर के संसार में मैंने इसको दाग लगाया। जन्म जन्म की मैली चादर कैसे दाग छुड़ाऊं, हे पावन परमेश्वर मेरे मन ही मन शर्माऊं। Janam janam ki maili chadar kaise daag chhudaun. He pavan parameshwar mere man hi man sharmaun. Nirmal bani paakar tujhse naam na tera gaya. Nayan mood kar he parameshwar kabhi na tujhko dhaya. Nirmal bani paakar tujhse naam na tera gaya. Nayan mood kar he parameshwar kabhi na tujhko dhaya. मन बिना की तारे टूटी अब क्या गीत सुनाऊं. हे पावन परमेश्वर मेरे मन ही मन शर्माऊं. मन बिना की तारे टूटी अब क्या गीत सुनाऊं. हे पावन परमेश्वर मेरे मन ही मन शर्माऊं. इन पैरों से चल कर तेरे मंदिर कभी ना आया. जहां जहां हो पूजा तेरी कभी ना शीश झुकाया. इन पैरों से चल कर तेरे मंदिर कभी ना आया. जहां जहां हो पूजा तेरी कभी ना शीश झुकाया.
पैरों से चल कर तेरे मंदिर गिरधर मैं हार के आया, अब क्या हार चढ़ाऊं। हे पावन परमेश्वर मेरे मन ही मन शर्माऊं। हे गिरधर मैं हार के आया, अब क्या हार चढ़ाऊं। हे पावन परमेश्वर मेरे मन ही मन शर्माऊं। अपरंपार दयालु सारा जगत संभाले, जैसा भी हूँ मैं हूँ तेरा अपने शरण लगा ले। परम्पार दयालु सारा जगत संभाले, जैसा भी हूँ मैं हूँ तेरा अपनी शरण लगा ले। छोड़ के तेरा द्वार दाता और कहीं ना जाऊं। हे पावन परमेश्वर मेरे मन ही मन शर्माऊं। छोड़ के तेरा द्वार दाता और कहीं ना जाऊं। हे पावन परमेश्वर मेरे मन ही मन शर्माऊं। छोड़ के तेरा द्वार दाता और कहीं ना जाऊं। हे पावन परमेश्वर मेरे मन ही मन शर्माऊं। Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nittai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sharashate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samabeta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveto Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande.